Welcome to our series on dispensational truth. Today we're going to be looking at the dispensation of human government. And this dispensation takes place in the time frame from the time of the flood until the Tower of Babel, or others carry it up to the call of Abraham or Abram. Doesn't matter if we tinker around the edges a little bit. That's the general time frame from Genesis chapter 8 up through Genesis chapter 11. And it has new revelation. Every dispensation, every age has new revelation. And the new revelation in Genesis chapter 9 that makes this dispensation distinct from other ages is, well, first they have a command to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Now, that's the same as what God said to Adam and Eve in the garden. The distinction here is now Noah and his family, after the flood, are to fill the earth and replenish it and multiply in the new world, the post-flood world. Everybody was perished in the flood, and now it's this responsibility to multiply and fill the earth is repeated again. There are also some dietary regulations in Genesis chapter 9, and the death penalty is instituted in that chapter, as well as the Noahic covenant that God made a promise about never to destroy the whole world again with a flood. So let's consider some of these responsibilities that are new and distinct in this age that came from this new revelation. So first of all, they were to multiply and fill the earth. They were not to gather in one location. And that's what they did. But they were not. They were specifically commanded to multiply and to fill the earth, to fill all four corners of the earth with human beings. Now, we know that power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely, and God knew that if sinful men gathered in one spot and they built an empire, their own kingdom, that it would corrupt much more rapidly. So to hinder that, God told Noah and his family to scatter and fill the earth. Then we also see in Genesis chapter 9, the death penalty was instituted, and it was instituted for murder. And God said in Genesis 9:6, by man shall his blood be shed. In other words, if anyone commits murder, then God gave to human beings the responsibility to put to death that evildoer. And so that is a very sobering and serious responsibility to take the life of another human being. And interestingly, when God instituted capital punishment, the reason for it was the sanctity of life. Interesting. God said that it's because man is made in the image of God, and that's precious to God. And if anyone is so audacious as to snuff out a life, a human being that was made in the image of God, because life is so precious to God, God could not allow that cancer to continue. And so the murderer was to be put to death. He was to be executed so as to prevent that from happening again and putting a fear in the hearts of others. And so by man shall man's blood be shed, to protect life and the sanctity of life. Now remember, just before this, in the previous dispensation of conscience, the whole world was filled with violence, murder, crime abounded, and it was unabated. And so because human life was precious to God, he demanded that those who treat life so carelessly and violently should be put to death. And so just think of this concept of human government. If God gave man the responsibility to execute criminals, then there needs to be some kind of a system of government to carry that out. It wasn't given to individuals to carry it out willy-nilly, as if, you know, and if they got mad at somebody, but rather this was to be carried out in a systematic way. And that means that there must have been some kind of a police force to arrest an individual. There must have been some kind of a judicial system where he would be examined and judged and ultimately executed. And so all of these things stem from that simple command God gave to Noah and his descendants, the responsibility to execute judgment by means of capital punishment. So man was to govern man on behalf of God. And in a sense, this was really God's rule on earth through human government. It was God carrying out his moral absolutes by means of man governing himself. This was a new stewardship, a new administration, a new dispensation. And so this is carried on into ages even way beyond human government. Human government didn't end when this dispensation ended. In fact, we see in Romans chapter 13 that Paul speaks about human governments. It says the powers that be are ordained of God. So the human governments that we have today, as corrupt as many of them are, they are of God. They're from the Lord. They are carrying out God's purpose. In fact, the people in power are described as ministers of God. Now, they may not see themselves that way. They may be stone-cold atheists, but they, from God's perspective, they're carrying out God's purpose on earth by executing evildoers and putting limitations and restrictions on the full spread of evil in the world. And that's the fundamental purpose of government. It's not to take care of us from cradle to grave. The purpose is primarily for protection from evildoers and to hinder the full manifestation of sin. So we see this is carried out in the age of law, and later on, when God instituted the law in the book of Deuteronomy, they were to execute men to put away evil from the congregation. By executing evildoers, they were instilling a fear of God, a fear of punishment in men, and that would deter crime, especially the sin of murder. And so God had a purpose behind these regulations that were new on the earth in the days of Noah. And so the death penalty began in the dispensation of human government. Totally new responsibility, new stewardship. Now, conscience continued. That was the rule of life in the previous dispensation. And human conscience continues into the age of human government, and it is accompanied by human government. So now the main new feature is human government, but also conscience. And so these are two hindrances to the full manifestation of sin. So government, so men will be governed by their own conscience that was now quickened when sin entered the world, and men would also be governed by men. Evildoers would be punished and murderers would be put to death. So the question in this time was this going to work? Conscience alone didn't work. So now maybe conscience with the addition of human government, maybe that will result in peace on earth, goodwill towards men. But unfortunately, as in every dispensation, they all end in failure. And we read in Genesis chapter 9, Noah's failure is seen there. He got out of the ark, he planted a vineyard, and then the next thing we read about him, he was drunk and naked in his tent. And the new dispensation was not getting off to a very good start. Even though God wiped out the whole generation before Noah, He destroyed all the violent rebels and gave Noah and his family a whole completely new, fresh start. But the problem wasn't the environment. Noah and his family stepped out of the ark, eight of them, and they stepped out of the ark with eight sin natures. The ark landed on Mount Ararat, and a whole new generation of sinners took place and started filling the earth. So the perfect environment didn't result in peace on earth in the Garden of Eden. And once the wickedness of man was wiped out in the flood, a fresh new start didn't result in peace on earth and holiness, etc. The problem was not the environment. It never has been. It never will be. The problem is the heart of man. And God is teaching men. We're slow to learn. Thousands of years take place, and it's starting to sink in, hopefully, that the problem resides in our own hearts. It's not our environment. It's not the rules and regulations. So we read in Genesis chapter 11 that increasingly the failure began to show itself. And rebellion against God's command to fill, to multiply, and to fill the earth was rebelled against, and they chose instead to remain together at a place called Babel. Clear rebellion against God's command. And they attempted to build a tower unto heaven. They were attempting to build, God wanted them to scatter all over the world. They said, no, we're going to build one kingdom. We're going to build our own empire at a place called Babel. So they wanted to have, instead of many nations, they decided that they would disobey God and they would have one world government. And they built a tower unto heaven, they would have a one world religion. And since they all lived and worked together, they would have a one world economy. And all of this was not under God. It wasn't that they were trying to build one nation under God. Rather, they were trying to build one nation without God. And they attempted to govern themselves without the Lord. And this was a perversion of God's intent for that age. We also read in Genesis chapter 11 and verse 4, it said, men said, let us make us a name. So this city that they were building, this religion, was really not designed to glorify God, but rather to exalt man, to make us a name. You know, worship should always be God-centered. And here we have men beginning a new kind of worship, their own way to heaven, their own tower to heaven, and it's to exalt themselves and to worship men rather than the Lord. This was a brazen corruption of God's truth. And this tower that they built was really their own religious way of getting into the heavens. They thought they could build a tower big enough to maybe physically walk up there. So what we see in this dispensation is sin was carried from the pre-flood world. Sin had ruined the world. Violence and corruption had filled the whole planet at that time, and sin was carried from the pre-flood world into the post-flood world. And how did it get there? In the hearts of men, the eight men that and women that got off the ark. And so God had to judge the world in that day, and the judgment was God confounded their language, hence the name Babel. Previously, the whole world spoke one language. After the judgment, they spoke many languages. And so this was new. Man hadn't even imagined such a thing before this, that people would be able to communicate in the language that they couldn't understand. And so it sounded like Babel to each of them. And God scattered them around the world. We don't know. I'd love to know how he did that, but we don't know. But God scattered men all around the world, and in their isolation, they became separate and distinct peoples and nations and with their own language. And the language hindered them from what they wanted to do. In fact, that's one of the reasons God caused this language to be confounded, so that they couldn't communicate, so that their evil intentions of building a one-world government, a one-world religion, a one-world economy would be greatly hindered and slowed down. Now, it revives in the end times. In the book of the Revelation, we see Babylon resurfacing with the same ungodly intentions, but God put he stifled it in that day and prevented it from spreading rapidly. That was the judgment. And just think of the distinctions under the age of human government. Now, some things are the same. Men are still born in the image of God, even though it's marred by sin. God's plan for marriage and the family still continues as it was in the garden. And men still have sinful natures ever since the previous dispensation in conscience. And the conscience itself continues. Now, that is not the main ruling factor in the dispensation of human government. So that stewardship has changed, but the faculty of conscience continues. And God also promised in Genesis 8 that he would faithfully preserve the seasons and the seed time and harvest and productivity. He also promised that he would never again destroy the world by a flood, and the evidence of that, or the reminder of that rather, was the rainbow in the sky. And we also see that a new distinction in this age was man's responsibility to govern themselves by means of human government, with the ultimate authority given by God to execute God's wrath on sin by putting to death murderers. And the reason was because life is precious to God. Don't you dare snuff out a human being made in the image of God, and those who do will be put to death. Society was letting men know what they thought of that. So just think also of the shift of how much things changed from the previous ages to the age of human government. You know, if you stop and think about how life was characterized by what it was characterized by in the dispensation of conscience, it was mostly fleshly sins. It was violence and anger and murder and crime. It was the flesh unabated. But now that we get into human government, we see that the rebellion of the heart of man has entered kind of a new phase. And now we see it's not just anger and wrath and violence and crime and stealing, but now it's expanded. Now it is men building their own religious system apart from God, an elaborate religious system, a tower unto heaven with its own sacrifices. We also see that men were beginning to build their own empires, a government without God. It was all godless, completely godless. And they were building the civilizations, continued there with at Babel. And what we see in this dispensation is Satan's world system is now becoming much more organized, much more detailed, much more complicated, and overlaid with all these different layers of an onion, of all the kinds of perversions of men, one layer upon another, until we get to today's world where things are so complicated, not the way God originally created man in a simple garden. So here we have the dispensation of human government. It ends with God's judgment at Babel. They disobeyed the command to spread and fill the earth, and they decided to do things their own way. One world government, one world religion, one world economy, and all without God. And so that's kind of how we arrived at where we are today. And so we have human governments, and we need to pray for them. God tells us to pray for those that are in authority, that we might lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And as corrupt as governments are, and even our own government, as corrupt as governments are, could you imagine the alternative? Anarchy. We've seen little glimpses of anarchy in our cities in the past year or so. Imagine a whole world like that. Thank God for his wisdom in giving men the responsibility to govern one another.